That's why now Russian propaganda very often try to quote Old Testament about Israel wars, go to fight them, go to kill them, take their land, and so on, so on, so on, so on. Old Testament. They forgot New Testament because it's not common for them now.
Moikka moi ja tervetuloa Kujalla-podcastiin. Tänään keskustellaan Venäjästä ja venäläisistä kristityistä. Mitä he ajattelevat sodasta? Vieraana minulla on tänään Konstantin, joka on lähtenyt Venäjältä pois, koska hän ei halunnut joutua rintamalle. Okay, welcome Konstantin. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Moi.
Moi, very good.
Yeah, good to see you. Hello, Heidi.
Yeah, hi. So, you have left Russia because you basically don't want to be in the war. What is the kind of the general view of Protestant Christians in Russia about the war?
So, first of all, I'm sorry for my English, maybe not correct phrases and words, but I will try. I'll do my best, hopefully. So, talking about Protestant Church, so first of all, you need to understand what Protestant churches became a full-fledged part of society only in the early 80s. I mean, maybe, yeah, 90s. So that means only like 40 years, Protestant churches has their presence in Russia, like evangelism, worship, planting the church, and so on. But most of them based on Baptist churches, which were created like 200 years ago. And that was a Baptist church, and they go through the Soviet time. So that's lots of punishment, lots of jail for their faith, and so on. And now churches in this situation are divided. So congregation can split who's for the war and who against the war. That should be like priests or pastors or like church members. So and that's a really strange situation. So you can find the church, then they doesn't talk about that, doesn't talk about war. That's just nothing exists. So that's no war. Stop talking about that in church. Or you can find the church where there's a lot of people for the war. So the people who against the war, they leave the church and find the church they against the war, and same opposite situation in a church where people against the war. So that's what's going on right now in the Protestant church. But also the second problem is look for the leaders of the Protestant church who very close to state, I mean government, they not say spoke out against the war. So, because if you were talking against the war, you're going to jail. That's easy.
Okay, so many different views within the Protestant church about the war. And as a result, the churches are a little bit divided, it sounds like. You either kind of don't talk about the war at all because you don't want to be divided in the congregation, or if you do talk about the war, then some people leave altogether.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think in the news, at least here in Finland, we hear a lot about how the Orthodox Christians and Kirill, what's his title again, Archbishop something, is very much in favor of the war. So is that the situation with the Orthodox Christians in general, that they are in, you know, supporting the war?
That's not true. So I don't know how we call like Russian Orthodox, because Greek Orthodox is a different church. That's not Russian Orthodox. So that's Armenian Orthodox. That's not Russian Orthodox. So if I just call Orthodox, I'm talking about Russian Orthodox Church. Okay. So they also have a division between priests as well as church members. But you have to look what main priest says. I just quote starts. If someone driven by a sense of duty, they need to fulfill the oath, remaining true to his calling and dies in the line of military duty, then he undoubtedly commits an act tantamount to sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for others, and therefore we believe what this sacrifice washed away all the sins what a person has committed. What ends? So, if you're not agree, you have to leave Orthodox Church. If you agree, you suffer the war, and your theology based on that.
Okay.
So, if you're Orthodox and you're not agree, that's a problem. But Orthodox also divided. But main thing is, so we have a Russia as a huge country, and few cities, more than a million people, and that big city is more liberal than another Russia. And if you talking about that huge cities, Christians, Orthodox, divided. If you're talking about Russia, the small cities, small villages, and that things, they almost all of them support Orthodox priest position. That's the main difference: big cities and the small cities.
So basically, the official Orthodox Church view is that if you die in the war, you are, you know, making a sacrifice, and it's a good thing. It's a worthy cause to be involved in. But do any of the well, none of the Protestant churches, perhaps, are as, you know, excited. The ones who are supporting the war, they're not as excited about the war. Are they?
Yeah, but you have to understand what, according to Russian law, all religions are equal before the law and separated from state. But that's not true. In Russia, it depends of dominate religion in the region, like Orthodox, Buddhism, Muslim. So they like interviewing with the state. And if you go against state, you will lose the money.
So, but the Protestant churches don't get money from the church. I mean, sorry, the Protestant churches don't get money from the government.
Not a straight money. Maybe like you will pay less for electricity, or you have permission to buy that building for a church, or like that. Not a straight money, because you have to understand, in Russia it's only three, like, that's not correct to say, but you have to understand, only three religions, like Orthodox, Muslim, and Buddhism. That's it. Protestant, it's generally it's like a cult. So less often attitudes to Protestants is patient. At the state level, it's patient. In Orthodox or other religions, it's a cult. How they cooperate? Very less. Protestant very less cooperate. That's other both ways with the Orthodox, even Muslims, and etc.
Well, here in the West, of course, everyone is very critical of the current war between Russia and Ukraine. Why are people or the Christians in Russia the ones who are supporting the war? Why do you think they are supporting the war?
Then I was 18, I was drafted to the army. I served for 2 years, and I was I must go to army, but I was too small with the weight and really tall for that. So I go to the officer, said, "I want to go." And he said, "You're not healthy." I said, "I want to go." And I was drafted. So, and I was a patriot. I was a Christian and at the same time patriot. That was the second Chechen War. My friend my friend died there. My friend was a part of that war and he survived. And at the same time, I go to serve an army. And I wanted to fight too. I was a patriot. And until 2018, picture of Putin was on my wall. Until the Georgian War, I start to understand something wrong. And the problem with the Russian, that's I don't know how you name it. That's imperial disease. So Russians think they are still empire. They were empire with the Tsars. They were empire with the Soviet Union, and they think they still empire because lots of people live back there. They want to come back Soviet Union. Even Putin, he said, divided the Soviet Union was a huge catastrophe of the 20th century. And all of them want to take it back. So, and I was a part of that. And from that huge mountain of imperialism, and you just see for all of that countries, and they owe us. All that 15 ex-republics owe us. We bring them culture, we bring them language, science, and so on. They owe us. But nobody wants to understand what time has changed. And just imagine, you're a 40 years old man, work like 20 years for KGB, and you became the president. What you will do? You will do the same thing where you when you grew up. You try to come back to Soviet Union with all of that things, because then you young, that's the best time. Just remember your youth. You think no, even in Russia in the 90s, that you don't have a food or drink or meat or something else. You still think that's the best time because you was young. As the propaganda say, Russians don't fight with the Ukrainians. Russians fight against Nazi who think they're Ukrainians. Because Ukrainians love Russians, because Russians and Ukrainians are brothers. But who don't think like that, they are Nazi and has to die.
Okay. So basically the Russian view is that the Ukrainians and Russians are like brothers, they love each other, and if there are Ukrainians who don't love Russians, then they are not true Ukrainians, they're Nazis, and they have to die.
And you poison it like of Nazi views, and that's it.
So that's, yeah, okay. Well, so what do you think about the, you mentioned propaganda, what do you think about the propaganda, what is the propaganda about this war in Russia, like?
First of all, we have to understand what is it propaganda. The first problem is people for state or state for people. Propaganda and patriotism, it's a patriotism, it's a two friends who walk together. And if you patriot, you love your country and you will die for your country because you're a patriot, right? That's what propaganda wants. They want to you to give everything for a country, everything. But in clear mind, you will take your time, you will give your time, give your part of the body, you will give your life for what? For a medal, for a piece of paper, for a fur, for what? And propaganda works very well in Russia, very well. On TV, TV it's like 100% of propaganda. Everyone likes Russian TV in Russia. But if you turn off TV and you'll not watch TV maybe a week, your mind will be more criticized.
Yeah. So basically that it's patriotic propaganda, you know, supporting Russia and so on, and it's on TV all the time.
Can I add that? So propaganda, it based on opposite to Europe. In Europe are liberals, and we have our own tradition values in Russia, like no gay marriage, yeah, no sexual prevention of children, animals, etc. I'm serious. They're talking about that on TV. But look what they do. They talk a lot, but look what they do. In Russia, every year dedicated to something, like dedicated to education, dedicated to science, dedicated to marriage. In the year which was dedicated to marriage, president of Russia get divorced. Words and deeds.
So you have left Russia because you have a different conviction about the war. So what is your personal conviction?
First of all, war is evil. war is evil. I don't want to be a part of that evil because I'm a believer and believe in Jesus Christ and remember what Jesus talking about. He, you know, in that words remind me what Paul said in Corinthians, imitate me is as I am Christ. Who's the most important authority for Christians? For me, that's Jesus. Just listen what Jesus said. It seems what everyone has forgotten Sermon on the Mount. Love each other. Yeah, love God. Because God is love. God is not a force. He is, but in love. Jesus doesn't teach faith through the force. He teach faith through the love. I don't see any love by killing people. That's not correct. And we are Christians of forgot, I think, like we forgot one main thing. who we are. We are not Russians. We are not Finnish. We are not Ukrainians. We are Christians. We have our own president as Jesus Christ. We have our own kingdom, kingdom of God. And we have to share love, not death. That's why I leave Russia, because Russian government welcomed me to that war and wished to part of that evil.
Mm-hmm.
My God doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you don't agree with war. But what is your kind of general view about war? Do you think it's always wrong for Christians to participate in war, or do you think it's sometimes okay? What is your view on this?
Christians are not pacifists, because that's a different meaning. That's just a different meaning. As I told before, my president, Jesus, my kingdom of God, and we Christians own a war. But Christians fight not against flesh and blood. Christians fight in spiritual war. That's completely different. If you see the war with the two kings, yeah, beside you, and someone welcome you to that war, that's not Christian war. That's why now Russian propaganda very often try to how you call it, quote Old Testament about Israel wars, go to fight them, go to kill them, take their land, and so on, so on, so on, so on. Old Testament. They forgot New Testament because it's not common for them now. So I'm not a pacifist, but in my world.
So what do you think is then for a Christian? Like, is it then in some situation it's okay to fight for your country? Or what do you think?
I have a talk with a Ukrainian lady in a Bible small group in Finland. And I was there. And she said, are Christians, Ukrainian Christians, go to the war to as a medic to help people? And I asked her, so should I go to that war like a Russian medic to help people, to heal that people who will kill your people? No, I'm not a part of that. I'm not a part of that. I saw the Baptist guys in Ukraine, that was a video, they pray before battle. I don't want to judge them. That's their attitudes between God and between them. But I'm clearly understand God said, do not kill. Jesus killed no one. No one. In a one, just okay. If Christ wanted, he would have called legions of angels in 1 second. In 1 second. And they would have shown everyone how to love and obey Christ in 1 second. But no, Jesus didn't teach to plant faith by force, as I said before, only through the love and personal example. So if you see the war, just go away. Just go away. That's not your country. This is not your country. Your country is a kingdom of God. You're a stranger here. We are Christian strangers here. Don't forget about that. Don't forget. You will die one day. Everyone will die one day. And then you become after. That's the point.
So you have left Russia to look for work and to look for new opportunities outside of Russia. How is that going? Are you finding anything, or what is your situation like?
I have a family, a wife and three kids, 13, 8 and 5 years old. They still in St. Pete. And I think how to get them out from there. Of course, it takes money. I have some, but it's not enough to make a new life together with the family in a new place. That's first of all. Second, I'm trying to find the job outside of Russia. And now it's really, really strong to find it, because you Russian. I'm a specialist in something, and try to find job, and I was rejected by HR because I'm Russian. That was in Europe, that liberal Europe, what Russia hate. I was rejected by my place of birth. That's okay. I'm not blaming them. They are right. I'm agree with them. I'm agree. But in that world now, that's a trend to hate Russians. I'm completely understand that. Completely understand. But for Christians, you don't. Jesus. God not see on your face, he saw your soul, who you are, what you do. So according to my situation, I'm trying to find a job outside of Russia, because if you work in Russia, you support the war by your taxes. I don't want to spend money there or something else. Until situation will change. Maybe I'll come back one day because my parents live there, my friends live there, but it's unsafe place, really unsafe place in the world. Unsafe and unholy place. So that's my situation right now.
Well, okay. And what do you think, how will the war affect the Protestant churches in Russia in the long run? What are the long-term effects?
Okay, as I told before, Orthodox Church, that's the main Christian church in Russia. All Protestant church, they are as a cult. Russian government kicked out Jehovah's Witnesses from the country a couple of years ago, take all of their buildings, all property without any money. And that's a way of all Russian churches, Protestant churches in Russia. Because who came to preach the gospel in Russia in 19th? Americans. So even if you're a Baptist church with a 100 years old history, you're still an American church. That's what Russian government think. And it's really, really danger to be a Protestant Christian in Russia. So in long term, I think they will find the enemy inside of country. Now they already find it. Enemy outside, really close outside, like Ukrainians. Okay, next one it's Baltic countries, next one Finland country, next one Kazakhstan country, and all of that Baltic, all of that 15 republic. That's a danger place for a Protestant Christian to be in Russia.
So is it okay? So they see that Protestants or Baptists are Americans. So do you know what they, because there are some Lutheran Finnish people who are Lutherans. There's some Lutheran churches, I guess, in Russia. Is it the same suspicion against them? Do you know?
Yeah, sure. Because Lutheran, it's Baltic or Finland churches, the place of area of St. Pete, that's Ingermanland place. So that's already the guy who charge of Ingermanland in Russia already persecuted. So even Pentecostal church, they're not Russians. So charismatic churches, same way, that's American churches, and so on, so on, so on. Not Orthodox, not Russian. That's a simple.
Well, thank you so much for sharing these perspectives, Konstantin. How can we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Russia right now?
First of all, please pray for common sense. Because Russia is like, I don't know how to name it, it's like poison. You like have a shelter before your eyes. Even Christian doesn't see that danger. I don't know why. I know because of propaganda, but I thought we defended by God from that, but not. Even your friends who was Christian like 20 years or more, even your parents who raised you up as a Christians, that's really strange. And pray please for Christ's for Christ-centeredness in the life of every believer. Because that's the main thing. Because if we have a Christ in the center, I'm sure we will understand clearly the situation. And look at that situation through the lens of God. God love, God is love. If something is done out of love, it's not from God. So, and the last word, what I want to say, it's Maranatha.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
I read the one book that was written, God is coming.
Well, thank you, Konstantin. Thank you so much for being part of this interview. And may God bless you and your family. And
thank you, Heidi, for that opportunity. Love you, brothers. Love you, sisters. Love you, churches. And see you one day in heaven.
Kiitos kaikille kuulijoille ja katselijoille jälleen kerran. Palautetta voi lähettää osoitteeseen kujalla.podcast@gmail.com. Ja palataan asiaan ensi kerralla uusin aihein. Moi moi!